Hey, stop, Travis, stop the music. Hold on. Check it out. I got a little special announcement here for you today, something that we're starting on the Contractor Fight podcast. We know that you're busy. We know that you got a lot of things flying at you every day, but we also know, because we hear from you on a regular basis, that you need all the help you can get leveling up your business IQ. And that's why we have what's called the Daily Hits. Daily Hits. What you get when you subscribe to the Daily Hits is you get actionable advice to grow your contracting business in less than 2 minutes a day. We talk about sales and mindset and operations and leadership and marketing, anything and everything that is going to help you grow a stronger business. So here's what I need you to do. Simply text the word tips, daily tips, T-I-P-S, tips, T-I-P-S, to 719-299-3852. 719-299-3852. Do that, and I promise you'll be equipped to hit with your boots on the ground every day with something that's going to help grow your business stronger. There are hundreds and hundreds of tips there for you waiting to be consumed and implemented, most importantly. So text the word tips to 299-3852. Travis, bring in those guitars and let's get this episode going.
Staying true to what you do and making sure you're profitable. That's the biggest thing, because if you're not profitable, you're just spinning your wheels, and that just backfills everything in your life.
All right, listen, about a year ago, maybe a little more, there's a hardwood flooring company that caught my eye on Instagram. First and foremost, because their images of their work were phenomenal. It just wasn't your typical floor. Doing some amazing work in some really beautiful homes out here in Colorado. And started stalking these guys, looking at what they're doing. Then I end up on their website a few months later and some stuff like that, because I'm just looking, I'm curious. Because as you've heard me share many times in the past, everything we do and everything we don't do tells a story. That's what really marketing is all about. You got to tell the right story and position yourself. And so Dan O'Connor is the owner of Colorado Custom Floors, massively high-end flooring contractor in Colorado. You can check him out at coloradocustomfloors.com. But I invited him on because he's built a really strong Instagram following of over 15,000 people. He's doing some really unique projects out here. He's making killer money and really doing a great job telling a story. And so that's what today's podcast is about, is really how to tell that story, the mindset that goes behind it, so that you can level up your business and not just be on the hamster wheel, but actually make profit, which makes the world go round. So with that, check out this little talk I have with Dan O'Connor of Colorado Custom Floors. And we'll see you on the other side of the interview. All right. Hey, welcome to the Contractor Fight podcast. I'm excited today to talk to Dan O'Connor. He is the man behind Colorado Custom Floors. And Dan, we're going to get into this here a bit. But man, first I want to welcome you to the show. But I've been looking forward to this for quite a while. I've actually been stalking you on social media for probably a year. And
cool. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. You've been on my radar. And I'm going to get into why I was paying attention to you as we, you know, talk here today. But before we dig in, tell us a little bit about your business and all that good stuff.
I own Colorado Custom Floors. We are a high-end hardwood flooring staircase home accent company. I've been in the trade for about 20 years, but running my own ship here for probably about 12 or 13. And we service pretty much the entire state of Colorado. We do a lot of work in the mountains and a lot across the Front Range. And we just try to really push craftsmanship and custom design and build. That's really what we're into, and that's what we love to do. And so that's kind of what we do.
Cool, man. So you've been in the trade for 20, you've been in business 12 or 14, you know, somewhere in there. Just right out of the gate here, what would you say some of the biggest lessons you've learned that maybe you didn't expect to learn when you started your own business?
I think probably the number one thing I tell everybody is not every job is a good job. Being in small business, being in business for yourself, I think the first thing everyone tries to do is take every single job, land every single bid, land every single estimate. And that is probably the biggest pitfall for small business owners across the board. I run into that all the time with guys who ask me stuff on Instagram and everywhere else. What should I do? What should I not do? What's the biggest thing? And aside from marketing and all that, you know, typical business stuff that everybody always says, staying true to what you do and making sure you're profitable. That's the biggest thing, because if you're not profitable, you're just spinning your wheels, and that just backfills everything in your life to the relationships you have with people, your wife, kids, or your husband, if you're a woman. It just feeds back up the stream and makes everything harder to do. We're doing this to make a living, and you don't want to just have your doors open to be having the lights on. Yep. You know, you need to be putting money away for retirement, and you need to be having a real budget for things like marketing, healthcare, all that stuff. And that's the first thing there is, even before learning your trade and making sure that you can really deliver a quality product, is being knowledgeable in running a profitable business. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I would say to everybody.
I love it. You know, it's funny. You can make a living working for somebody else, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, so if we're not doing more than making a living as a business owner, that's a problem. I had a guy ask me yesterday, we were hanging out on the phone a bit, and he says, all right, hey, knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently, you know, when you first opened your doors as a contractor years ago? You know, what are a couple things? And one of the first things I said is I would have stayed smaller longer. I would have dialed in my profitability, because, you know, there were a lot of really tough lessons that I learned in those first couple of years, that if I had a do-over, I would definitely do that. You know, don't grow to become profitable, right? Like growth,
no.
If you're not already profitable, don't try to grow. So
when you look in the stores, you know, you look at whatever the major brands are that you purchase to get your job done, whether it's DeWalt, whether it's any of those brands, and you wonder to yourself, why is it so expensive? They're such a big company. It's because it takes a lot of revenue to grow a monster like that and make it profitable, because we're not all doing this for practice. If we were, then we just go out and do charity work. I mean, we're doing this so that we can, you know, enjoy our lives, and we don't want to work for somebody else and make somebody else rich. So, you know, if you're not going to make it worth your while, then don't go out and just do work to do work. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't know if you ever heard the podcast. It's called How I Built This. And, and they were interviewing the dude who, I forget his name, the dude who founded Patagonia. And he just really matter of fact was like, I can't deliver awesome for cheap. So,
right.
If you don't like it, tough, you know,
yeah, that's it. So, that's all there is to it.
Yeah. So listen, I, like I said earlier, one of the main reasons I brought you on here is I've been watching what you've been doing, you know, mostly on your Instagram. You know, you got over 15,000 followers, and you're massively consistent. And I just scroll through your feed, and everything's high quality. Everything looks great. Like, and I'm not just talking your work. I'm talking like the images. There's consistency. There just seem, you know, I see your dogs. I see your family. I see you skiing with a kid, or, you know, whatever. And you've kind of really brought us into your world a little bit. And I'm just curious, before we get into any of the tactical stuff with this and the strategy behind what you're doing, how has being this active and things like that helped your business overall?
It takes a while. It's a lot of work, because people, like you said, people are looking for legitimacy. And so it took a year of really banging really hard at Instagram to get that legitimacy up and really being true to what we do. We've you know, deleted a lot of posts and really been picky and choosy about what we do to portray the right image. But once you build the image, it's easy to just go over again and again. You start to see your own style, and then you realize, like, that looks like one of our posts, that doesn't look like one of our posts, and then people expect it. So it's starting to catch on now, and it's really starting to propel us further, because we're getting offers and people are coming to the table that we never would have been able to talk to before. So it's really starting to take off and do a lot for us.
So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the questions I get all the time from contractors, is like, I'm going to put all this time into like Instagram or something, or Facebook or whatever it is. What's my ROI going to be? You know, because obviously it takes a commitment and some things like that. So what's, you know, I guess specifically you talk about, you know, it's, you've been at it for a while and now people are starting to notice and offers that you might not have had before. What kind of things are you talking about? What does that mean?
Just jobs and people coming to the table and requesting things. People always ask me, one of the biggest things I get asked is, how do you get such cool projects? How do you land such cool projects? You know, and there's no magic pill or magic formula to do that. The way that I did it was we showcased a lot of our talents and things that we do that other people don't. And we used Instagram, social media to do that. So the thing I'm finding in Colorado, there's a lot of builders and designers that don't really know what's capable anymore. A lot of them out here are young. They haven't been to the East Coast, Chicago, New York, Miami, LA, places where old money exists. And they have been doing this type of custom design for decades. So being able to pull that to the forefront and show them what's possible and show them what is capable and what we can do and change or capitalize on is really what lined up a string of jobs for us that, you know, allowed us to expand and do what we really want to do, which is, you know, custom design and build. So that wouldn't have been possible without social media. That's how we were able to show everybody what we were doing.
So are these the consumers that are finding you and reaching out, or is it like architects, designers, things like that? What's it look like?
I'd say it's about 75-25. I'd say builders, designers, architects are 75%, and then 25% are homeowners. But the beauty of Instagram is you have your entire portfolio in your pocket. When you walk into a bid or a job, you can just pull up a picture. And the other great thing about it is live time. If these people have a question or reviews, you know, like, here's the thing. Nobody's stupid anymore. You can fake Google reviews. You can fake all, and like house. House is one of the worst ones. I mean, I know guys that fake house reviews like crazy, and then they get awards for it. And it's like, you know, you wasted all that time. Everyone knows it's not real. But on Instagram, somebody can go on my Instagram, look at another user or past projects I have done, have a private conversation with that person directly and get the real skinny. And like, that's the best part about Instagram is there's no time for BS. It's live time. And, you know, you're getting to actually talk to the people versus just read a review from some website that probably could be made up. So it works. It carries a lot more weight.
Yeah. You know, it's funny as you're talking right now, I'm literally scrolling through your feed and seriously, like those of you that are listening, go to Colorado Custom Floors on Instagram and follow Dan and just check out some of the stuff. I mean, seriously, man, aside from like a great feed and consistency and the whole marketing and mindset and strategy behind it, truly, truly kick ass work, man. Really, really kick ass work. So I want to give you some props for that. Cause you just get the sense, like, here's another thing, you know, I talk about all the time, everything you do and everything you don't do tells a story, right? Where you park your trucks tells a story. How the truck looks tells a story. What your guy looks like on the job tells a story. You go to your Instagram, you go to your Facebook page, you go to your website, everything communicates a story and positions you. Right. And so when I come to your feed, if I'm a designer, if I'm a builder and I get to your feed and I spend more than 5 seconds scrolling, I immediately know that you're probably going to be a shitload of money.
Right.
Compared to other guys in the trade. And so it's a pre-qualifier, right?
And that was the design of the website too. That was why everything we do backfills the whole misconception, just like Mercedes-Benz or anybody else that has marketing and advertising to that level. We wanted people to know what they're getting themselves into, because in sales, you know, you get a lot of phone calls. You put out marketing to get ROI and you get a ton of shoppers. And that's the problem with sites like Angie's List and that stuff. So we wanted to create a qualifying process, what we call, to pre-qualify these people so we didn't get a lot of looky-loos and shoppers. And that's exactly what we set up our whole deal to do.
So, all right, you brought up the website. So let's talk about your overall marketing approach. Like where do the majority of your leads come from? First off, what are your top three sources maybe?
Top three sources are probably the website and then Instagram, Facebook, social media. And then we run some radio ads, recently did some radio ads and some print. And so those are brand new for this year. So we're waiting for the ROI to do the autopsy on those. But we'll see here probably in this quarter, which is hitting off the best.
All right, cool. So talk about the website. How old is your site? How long has this current version been up?
This current version has been up for about 6 or 8 months. Okay. And we just did a complete rebrand of the company last year. We just decided it was time to start spreading money around the SEO world to go after a more, we wanted to focus our search on a higher client, because that's who we cater to. And, you know, the traditional forms of advertising, they're great, but they blanket a lot of, you know, $350,000 to $650,000 homes. And that really isn't our wheelhouse. Our wheelhouse is pretty much $750,000 and above. So okay. That's where we wanted to focus. And that's why we decided to shift everything into that sort of look and feel.
And seriously, like, go to ColoradoCustomFloors.com. You guys will see what he's talking about here. It is the feel, like, if, you know, if I'm a dude who's buying a BMW and then I go to your website, it feels like the same world, right? It's, you know, it's
exactly.
And that, I know that's by design. I mean, you can tell everything's very intentional here. So what would you tell the guy who's listening to this right now, who's maybe not having a lot of success with his website, not getting a lot of Google leads and traffic and things like that? What's one thing that he could do to kind of dial in a better client?
Pricing. Rich people understand they're going to spend money. Rich people know they're going to spend money. They already want to spend money. That's the whole point of being rich, is kind of keeping up with the Joneses. So mm-hmm. people who can afford things and are wealthy don't have time to mess around. Put your pricing on your website. Don't be scared of it. Like, we're one of the only people that have our pricing right on the website. And, you know, I'm not scared or ashamed of that at all. Like, this is what it is. I don't want to waste your time, and you don't want to waste mine, because I don't have a lot of it. Neither do other people. I need to do wealthy people. That's another thing, they don't have a lot of the time. So I don't want you to come out to their house, go through the rigmarole, go through the spiel, go through everything, and then find out at the end you're not what I'm looking for. Maybe you're not even charging enough. Maybe you're too expensive or whatever. This way, it's right there on the website, and you're going to get serious inquiries only. That was the whole purpose of putting that pricing page on our website, was to just get people that really want to shop and buy.
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know if you're familiar with Marcus Sheridan. One of Forbes' top 20 marketing speakers in the world. He's a in-ground swimming pool guy, has the most trafficked swimming pool website in the world. He just spoke at our Contractor Sales Academy Revolution event that we just had last week. And I brought him out. I've known him for a few years. And he's talking a lot about inbound marketing and things like that. And the number one thing somebody searches for when they're investigating, you know, a product or a service is price. They're typing in, how many times have you done it? Hey, how much does this cost? And and when you are transparent about that, because, like, a lot of guys are afraid, like, oh, I'm going to show my competitors what I'm charging, or, you know, I don't want to commit to a price. And Marcus will tell you that start every pricing video or blog or whatever with, hey, people ask me all the time, what does it cost to put in a pool or a hardwood floor? Well, the quick answer is it depends, you know? And so here's a lot of the factors and that transparency that is actually what builds trust with people. Because I don't know about you, but when I go to someone, if I search how much does hardwood flooring cost, and I get to your website and it says contact our sales department, I will never call you, and I will not go back to your website, because you just gave me a to-do list.
It's a setup for a sales pitch. And you know, you could be a very mediocre flooring contractor, but go out and hire a really great salesman, and then what have you done? Then now you're just lying to people. So you know, the consumer, you're fooling yourself too if you're the consumer thinking that, oh, these guys are really great. Like, if you have to talk yourself into the sale, then there's a serious problem there anyway.
Hey, bro chachos. Listen, I want to share a little bit about what a painting contractor named Jason had to say about his first month in our Contractor Sales Academy. You know, you've heard me share about what we got going on in that group, and it's some amazing stuff is happening. But Jason, here's his own words. He just shared this with us. He says, I want to put it out there that our first month in the CSA has been phenomenal. We've been in business for 2 years, and since starting with the CSA, we were finally headed in the right direction. I 100% believe it was the right choice and fit for us. The support is phenomenal. The information is actionable, and the community as a whole is like family. I have been part of other trainings and courses, but the level and direction the CSA is going is super kick-ass. If you are new or unsure, you will be glad you joined. The more engagement you put in, the more you get out of it. Now go get some. Jason, thanks for sharing that. It totally means a lot. And I think you said it best, man, that you are not alone when you join this community. We are not like other group coaching groups. I guess that's redundant. Group coaching groups. All right. We're truly a family that cares about one another. No matter what level of your business, where you're at, you know, how many employees, what your revenue is. I mean, we've had companies that are a couple hundred grand a year up to over 20, 30 million a year. Be part of the CSA. But the one common denominator is everybody is ready to own their crap, and they're ready to get uncomfortable and get engaged and put the work in, because, you know, you don't get what you wish for, you get what you work for. So if you're on the fence, if you're on the bubble, if the little voice in your head has been telling you for months to check this out, just do it. Trust us, do it. And if you're engaged and you're putting the work in and you're not getting the ROI that you need, we'll give you your money back. That's pretty simple. That's how we work. So head to ContractorSalesAcademy.com and don't let another month go by where you don't have the resources, the tactics, the strategy, and most importantly, the community to support you on your journey as you build your business. ContractorSalesAcademy.com. So the other thing here that's important, and we touched on this before about everything being first rate here that you're doing from a marketing point of view. You know, you got your pricing on here, and you ain't cheap, and you know you're not cheap, and people know you're not cheap. Mm-hmm. But this is where that positioning and the story you can tell in your marketing and your Instagram and all that supports your pricing. Like if you have expensive prices on a shitty looking website, you know, it just doesn't fit the whole package. So I want to encourage people to really invest in some of this branding and positioning and things like that. So you said, you know, a while back you rebranded. How did you know it was time? That's a question that people send me all the time. Like, hey, I'm thinking of rebranding my business. What were some of the indicators that you needed to do that?
We were doing a lot of the same job over and over and over again, like a service company, like a carpet cleaning company, you know, or like a a landscape company. It was like, man, how many, like, you know, when you go to the supply house and you're the same, it's the same order every week. It's like, you know, this is crazy. We're making money, but you know, it's the machine and it's hard on the tools. It's hard on you. It's hard on everything. You're just rolling over the same kind of stuff over always. You know, so, mm-hmm. If you're catching the same fish with the same bait, it's time to change baits. Go for bigger fish. And that's exactly where it kind of hit us in the face. We came to a crossroads like, okay, we're either going to be, you know, your run-of-the-mill flooring company and just do a bunch of commodity work, or we're actually going to make a push to move into the custom and design, and that's where we shine, and that's what I'm good at. And, you know, how do we go about doing that? Mm-hmm. So we sat down, laid out a plan, and then it all started with the image. And, you know, power perceived is power achieved. And it went forward from there.
And my guess is when you did that, you're probably doing less projects at higher dollar and higher profit, and life is a little more enjoyable.
I want to get a hammer like Thor and print that on it and just stamp it into guys' heads every day. I say that on Instagram. I'm like, slow down and go faster. And then, because the other thing is the pricing, like you mentioned. Everyone thinks we're expensive. Well, we're not. The problem is this industry has got a ton of stellar craftsmen and, for lack of a better term, a ton of really shitty businessmen. Yep. So instead of increasing their pricing for cost of living and inflation and everything else, because your truck, your oil, your tools, your nails, your glue, your wood, everything goes up every year. And these guys keep their prices at 2 and 2 and 2 and 2 just so they can get to work and be busy all the time. Yep. And I'm like, and the suppliers are actually counting on this because they're raising their prices for inflation and cost of living. And then they're looking at each other going, we can raise another 15, 20%. And no one's going to say anything.
Well, these guys won't even know it because they don't track their numbers.
Right.
Right.
Right. And that's how we've landed. And I'm a hard flooring guy, but that's how we've landed to a position where the material now is double what labor is, which is completely upside down and out of whack. Labor was always double material. That was the formula since our grandparents' grandparents have been doing work. because all the skill and the quality in the job, most of it comes from the guy doing it, not from the product you buy. Wood is wood. Trees grow everywhere. So, yeah. You know, barring some really, you know, exotic type stuff or whatever, that might be the case. But if you're just doing oak, okay, who's got the ability to design it? Who's got the ability to really stand and finish it properly? And that's the skilled craftsman. And he's the one that should be making the money, not the guy that's cutting the tree down and keeping it in a warm, dry place so they can just sell it to you for 400 points. I mean, right. These guys, the markups are getting ridiculous on the material. But they're letting them do it. Because they keep showing up with fistfuls of money. Here you go. Yep. Here you go. And I guarantee you those guys are sitting on their board meetings going, what is our profit margin? How is that even possible? I mean, I guarantee that they're probably looking at each other in disbelief.
Yeah. So I got a couple different directions I want to go here with the time that we have left. So let me ask you this. In the contractor fight, we're always talking about owning your crap. And so this is where maybe I'm going to flip our talk here a little bit, because I've been giving you tons of love. And rightly so, man, you're doing a great job. So I guess from your perspective, what's something that you're not doing well that you need to own in your business?
Probably scheduling, because like everything else, you know, we're a small company. That's how we keep the quality so high. And a lot of times you probably schedule things a little too tight and it runs into, you know, some clients being aggravated or whatever. And that once you start a job like that, it kind of carries through the job. So it's hard to get that back once you've kind of pissed them off a little bit. It's really, really hard to get it back. So I need to get better on my timing and scheduling, because the custom work, that's another thing, is the level of work that we do. Sometimes you, in your head, you're like, that's 2 weeks, that'll be fine. And then something happens in the middle of it, the redesign or whatever it is. You wind up going 3 or 4 days over. Well, that runs 3 or 4 days over into the next one, and you know, so on and so forth. So really, really being comfortable with doing design, custom build stuff on every job, and needing to spread out my schedule more. Being comfortable with the fact that it's okay if I have 3 days off or a week off in between jobs, where before in my life, it was never okay. We were, right. You know, it was a grind. So I'd say, I definitely say scheduling.
Awesome. And listen, man, I appreciate you sharing that, because I know that, I mean, not that you and I are going to see this right now, but if you're listening to this podcast, you're driving down the road and you've had issues with scheduling, raise your damn hand, right? We've all had it. And so Every single contractor, because, you know, but I think one thing that you said that was key there is it doesn't bug you now if you have 2 or 3 days off now.
Right.
And that's because you're profitable, right? It's because you're making more money. Exactly. So you're not as stressed about it.
Exactly. So I don't have to be, you know, weekends, nights, Christmas, Easter. I mean, anyone who's in the trades, I could sit down with today and I could relate. How many dinners have you been yelled at for not getting to? How many holidays have you worked when you shouldn't have? You know, like, that's a common thing. It is we need to get out of the mentality of I need to be busy 365 days out of the year. If that's the case, why? Like, why? Yeah. That's not a life. That's you're a slave. You're a slave to your own business, and that's crazy.
So let's I want to talk about, I guess, two more things before we wrap up. First is I want to head back to Instagram for a bit, and the second thing will be I'm just going to let you kind of pontificate anything that you'd like to share with the contracting world as a whole, you know, and give you the mic. So we'll end with you, you know, bringing the heat, man. Great. So talk to me a little bit about the strategy behind Instagram and getting the right eyeballs and things like that that could help somebody that's listening.
First things first, you invest money in tools. Guys have no problem going out and spending $1,000 on tools. Do the same thing for a camera. Go invest some money, buy a decent camera. Even if you think you're a nerd, get a class on that camera. Stupid little tricks like never take a picture facing the sunlight. Always take a picture with the sun behind your back. Dumb stuff like that. Images, we eat with our eyes before we eat with our stomachs. Like, and that carries through to everything. So spend a little time, spend a little bit of money, and watch the ROI roll in. The camera is one of the most important tools that we have in this day and age, because that's how people decide they want stuff. They see it on Pinterest. You know, everybody's at work on break or whatever in their lives, in their car, like you said, somewhere, and they're flipping through stuff. you know, Google Images house, especially. People don't even read stuff on house. They just go in, they just type in a word and get all those pictures and just start swiping. Yeah. So, you know, your image, even if whatever the work is, however menial you think it is, a backsplash, something that's really simple, if you have a nice sharp image, digital image, then it's going to automatically, people are going to automatically think that you're a better contractor than the next guy because, oh, look at this guy's image. It's better. For some reason, that's just the way it works. And, you know, that's a really big, big advice piece for Instagram for anybody. And the other thing is, you know, stay poignant, like stay on point, make sure your Instagram account, it's your business account. So don't be like talking politics on there and that kind of crazy stuff. Like keep it about business and then throw some stuff in about your personal life so people can see that you're an actual human being. But, you know, keep it classy, basically. Just if you wouldn't do it at your mother's dinner table, don't put it on your Instagram account. That's kind of how I feel about that.
All right. So let's talk a little bit of the day-to-day logistics of doing this. How much time do you spend a day or a week with this? Who's shooting the photos? You know, what's that look like?
We have the account spread out to three people. So there's usually always somebody on the account to answer questions or at least point people in the right direction. Because that's the other thing. When guys ask me questions on Instagram, a lot of the times it's not homeowners or potential buyers. It's guys that have questions about the work they're doing, but then they spread the word for you even faster than the Instagram does. So we do that. We cover the account that way so we can get questions answered right away. And that helps also with some of the manufacturers that hook us up and sponsor us and things like that. We probably spend, we spend, someone's in the account 40 hours a week, easy. I mean, someone's always on there. Mm-hmm. So between the three of us, I'd say it's a full-time job. It's like, it's marketing. So it's a budget.
Yeah.
Time is money. It's just like spending a marketing budget for a company. So that's the commitment that you make.
And what, like these three people, one of them's you, I take it, is one, right, like one of your foremen and, or something like that. I mean,
yeah. And then one's my, like, he's a business development guy, Bart. He's my right-hand man. Bart handles all that kind of stuff for me. So he takes care of a lot of the new business and setting up meetings and all that stuff. And he's really, really dialed as far as like the industry and what goes on. So he handles all that stuff.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Sure. Well, hey, listen, to kind of bring us home here, why don't you, you know, what golden nugget can you leave with, you know, guys that are out there on job sites, running contracting businesses right now, trying to make it all work and things like that. You know, what kind of advice do you leave them with here today?
My advice would be know your worth. Don't get talked into, pigeonholed into a timeline that's unrealistic, that's going to make you sour the relationship between the homeowner. Don't get talked into giving somebody something cheaper just to get a job, just to be busy. You need to be profitable. You need to be able to say no. That's the biggest thing. Guys are so scared about saying no or telling the client or the customer, like, you know, we can do that, but it's going to take this much more time and this much more money. Guys have a tendency to throw stuff in for free when they're already on a job because they're just trying to please everybody and get referrals. And that's not what works. That the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, like, this is a business. You don't go to King Supers. You know, if you have a family, if you have a big family of eight, if you go to King Supers or buy groceries and you spend $1,200, they don't just give you the bacon for free. Even though it's $3.95, they make you pay for that too. So
yeah,
everything costs money. You need to be paid for everything that you do. And that's how you run a profitable business. I'd like to see guys do that more because it would bring the wage up and the overall profitability to everybody. It would come up and stop putting all the money in the pockets of the manufacturers and the distributors and start putting it back in our pockets because we're the ones with the talent. Without us, this show doesn't go on. So people, I just wish guys would kind of remember that, realize it, and just sit back a minute, go through your books of the last 6 months, look at the jobs that were profitable and jobs that weren't. What did you do differently on the jobs that were profitable? Mm-hmm. Repeat that. It's that simple. So that's kind of what I would say if I had a forum to talk to all those guys right here, right now, it's what I would tell them.
Well, you just told them, man, amen to that. Cause it's, that's what you got to do. You got to fight for your dignity. You got to fight for your family and your future.
Right.
And not just exist, not just be on the hamster wheel, but really build something that you're proud of. And that, you know, one of the things that bothers me the most and, you know, why I have this show and stuff like that is that, you know, the majority of contractors are not making an amount of money that's equal to the value they're bringing. Right.
No,
and so,
not.
And that's just not fair. And then the result is they're stressed about money. Their health goes down the tubes. They go out of business. They go bankrupt. And then that's no good for the consumer because now nobody's there to stand behind the work. And now the consumer has to start all over and find another provider down the road and who's not going to hose them and all that other garbage. So raise your prices, get the money you're worth. You know, the more money you're making, the better service that you can offer, the better work you can do, the better people you can have, and you can pay them more. And now they have a future, and nothing but good comes from raising your prices.
Exactly. The real estate industry right now in Colorado is booming out of control, and everybody knows how nuts it is. So if a $350,000 house is now worth $450 or $500, why are you still doing tile work or whatever that is in that house for the same price that you were 2 years ago when the house was still $350? What are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Market trends. There's simple things you can look at to say, okay, I need to raise my prices because home prices have shot up 35%. So I need to raise my prices 25%. And you know, that's just common sense. Like that should be happening. So, because these people all have the money, these people are refining like crazy because the money in their homes, the equity has shot through the roof. So they should have no problem in spending that. And to counter that, the product that you're offering should last the life of the home, 35, 40 years. That way you can use premium products, premium tools for your premium business. That's the whole point.
Well, dude, you're speaking my language. I love it. And I guarantee you, you've thrown some cold water on the faces of some of the guys listening to this and waking them up a bit. I hope you guys were paying attention to what Dan's doing here, what he's sharing. Dan, I appreciate you being with us today, man.
Absolutely.
And carving this out, taking the time. So with that, Dan, if somebody wants to reach out to you, they want to find you, you know, how do they do that? How do they get in touch?
Email and phone numbers on the Instagram. If not, DM me. I have no problem. We can meet for lunch. We can meet face-to-face if you got problems or anything. I'm always talking to guys. Everybody knows that about me on Instagram. So I've been preaching this for a while. I'm really excited that you guys are actually doing it now, like publicly and really, you know, I'm glad to join the fight. Because this is what needs to happen. So any question, there's no stupid questions. You know, I'll help anybody with anything. I don't really hold any secrets back. I think the rising tide lifts all boats and, you know, anything I can do to help, just get at me.
Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Appreciate you being here. With that, Travis, bring in the guitars. We will see you guys next time on The Fight.